If you have your Bibles, I want you to open to the book of Matthew in the New Testament. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Matthew 28. We have been involved in a series entitled Last Words, and we looked at for really over a month and a half. We looked at the last words of Jesus on the cross. And so today we're going to take a little bit different tact of that. And today I want to talk to you about first words from the tomb. First words from the tomb. Now, if you've ever done much of a study on first words, you will find out that many times first words will set a direction for where you want to go, or the direction of where you want a discussion or argument to go. And first words pretty well set the tone and set the direction. What I want to deposit in your mind today during this Easter Sunday is that I believe that when these women went to the tomb on that Sunday morning, and when they arrived at the tomb on Sunday morning and saw that the stone was rolled away and an angel was there, and an angel gave the first words from the tomb, that these were the words that set a direction for when anyone would approach the empty tomb. And so today, this is what I want you to be thinking about. And that is, at any time you approach the empty tomb, as you approach the empty tomb, you will find more than what you were looking for. Keep this in mind. As you approach the empty tomb, you will find more than what you're looking for. Now think about that statement. You'll find more than what you're looking for. It's been true throughout history. When Columbus was sailing on the Atlantic Ocean, his desire was to go to Asia, and he ended up finding America. He found more than what he was looking for. There was a pharmacist by the name of John Pemberton who in 1886 was stirring up a medicinal syrup on a brass kettle. And as he was putting this syrup together, he had a wonderful use for it. And it was for people who were tired, it'd give them more energy. For people who were nervous, it would calm them down. And for people who had sore teeth, it would take away the pain. And so he put together this incredible medicine, and it was a flop. But it turned out to be a great beverage, because that's the founder of Coca-Cola. You see, he found more than what he was looking for. There was a lady by the name of Ruth Wakefield who in the 1930s was baking some butter drop dew cookies from a recipe from colonial times. And as she was baking these cookies, she came up with an idea to take a Nestle's chocolate bar and cut it into small pieces and drop it in the batter. What she was looking for was that when all of the cookies were fixed and finished, then when she pulled them out of the oven, they would be chocolate-flavored cookies. But instead, what she got was these cookies that were still in that battered dough, and there were chunks of gooey chocolate that were on top of it, which is a chocolate chip cookie, which is one of the favorite cookies of all time. You see, what she did was she got more than what she was looking for. Some of you ladies have gone through, and you may have more purses than you can count, but that there's a particular dress that you've got that goes, and there's a particular purse that will go perfect with it, and you rummage through and you find that purse that you haven't used in months, and when you find the purse, you open it up, and guess what you find in there? A little stash of cash. You found more than what you were looking for. Now, every illustration I'm going to give you is positive. I'm going to give you the one negative one, and that is that when the wives tell their husbands to go through your closet and throw out the old stuff, that's a scary thing, because when they find some stuff, they'll go, hey, I haven't seen this in 4 years, and they put it on, and they found more than they were looking for, and you are going, oh, no. But see, usually when you find more than you're looking for, it means you were looking for something, but whoa, you found even more. August 1977, I was working for the telephone company with South Central Bell. And there was a strike notice that came up that said that the non-management people may strike. And so you, as a management person, will need to go to another city and work strike duty. You may be an operator or do whatever else, but we need to send you up there. And I was to go to Huntsville, Alabama. And so what I was doing in August 1977 was I was looking for who was going to be assigned to go with me to Huntsville, Alabama. And then I got the name, and it was Janice Culberson. I got more than I was looking for. I said, whoa, this is a great deal. You see, you can get more than what you're looking for. And I believe that when you look at the story of the tomb, you're going to see that whenever you approach the empty tomb, you're going to get more than what you're looking for. All right, follow with me. Matthew chapter 28, and let's start at the first verse. He says, now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Just a reminder, the reason they rolled back the stone was not so Jesus could get out, but so we could look in and see that he was not there, okay? So in verse 3, it says, his appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, first words from the tomb, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. When these women approached the tomb, they found more than what they were looking for. Think about it. What did the angel say? First words the angel says right here, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. Now, what were they looking for? When they went to the tomb, they were looking for a crucified Jesus. And when they went to the tomb, they were looking for someone, a special friend, who had died. But what they got was a risen Savior. They're looking for a crucified Jesus, one that has died. And then what they found was even so much more. They found they had a risen Savior. They found more than what they were looking for. When they went to the tomb, they had some spices. And what they wanted to do was to anoint a corpse. But what they found was they came face to face with Jesus himself, and they fell at his feet and they worshiped him. You see, they found more than what they were looking for. And when they went, they had these expectations that were really of sadness. And now when they leave the tomb, they have got unbelievable joy. You see, they had found more than what they were looking for. And see, as you came to church on this Easter Sunday morning, I don't know why you came, and I don't know what you're looking for. But what I want to tell you is that if you seriously approach the empty tomb, you will find more than what you were looking for. Because see, sometimes when people come on an Easter Sunday, sometimes you just come because somebody forced you to come, made you to come, you didn't really want to come, or maybe you came just out of interest about what's the big deal about Easter. Well, I just want to tell you this. If you came today and you were looking for religion, instead you're going to find a relationship. You see, you're going to find more than what you were looking for. And if you came today and what you were looking for was to find a religious leader, you will find a risen Savior. You're going to find more than what you were looking for. You may come today and say, I'm looking to understand more about this Jesus, this good man. And what you're going to find is that he's more than a good man. He's God's son. You're going to find more than what you were looking for. Or some may come in and say, well, what I'd like to do is I want to learn more about this wonderful teacher. Well, what you're going to find is that he is the word of life. You're going to find more than what you were looking for. You see, in some, as you come in and you begin to think about who this Jesus is, you're saying, you know, I'm looking for answers to my questions. But what you're going to find is that he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. He is the beginning to the end. Any question you have about life, it says that our Lord can answer those things and direct us on that. You see, some of you came today and you said, well, what I'm looking for are some principles to live by. But what you're going to find is a person to live with. And that's so much better, because you can enter into a personal relationship with God and through his son, Jesus Christ, and you have this person that you live with, and then he can teach you the principles to live by. There's some of you today that are hurting, and you said, the reason I came was that I came to get strength to endure. But when you look at the empty tomb, you will find a spirit that empowers. And what you'll discover is that God's spirit will come and live within you and will empower you, and he will give you the strength to endure. It's not dependent on your own strength. It is through his strength. You see, when you come here on an Easter Sunday and you approach the empty tomb, you're going to find more than what you were looking for. Just as the women found more than what they were looking for in that morning. So what will you find this morning when you come to that empty tomb? Well, let me give you a few things that you'll find today, right out of what the angel said. The first thing that you'll find today is Jesus will always fulfill his promises. Jesus will always fulfill his promises. When you look at the empty tomb, you can bank on it that he will always fulfill his empty promises, all his promises. I was thinking of empty promises because today we see so many kind of empty promises, don't we? I mean, we are promised so many things. And in fact, if you just watch TV enough, you would think that everything you need could be purchased for $19.99. And if not that, three easy installments, and you'll get everything that you need. And so you are promised so many things like that. And some of you have bought those things. Not giving a personal testimony, but look, you know, some of you have bought those things, and when you bought those things, you found out that they didn't fulfill their promise. They didn't carry through with what they said they would do. $19.99 was a good price, but they didn't follow through with their promises. Jesus will fulfill his promises. And the resurrection is a perfect illustration. Look what he said. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, put on the screen this verse, him talking to his disciples. He says this, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. He told his followers in Matthew 16 that. Then he came back in Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verse 22 through 23, he says, when they came together in Galilee, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and on the third day, he'll be raised to life. Guess what? Matthew chapter 20, verse 17 through 19, Jesus came back, told his followers the same thing. Are you ready? Now as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, they're on their way to Jerusalem. These are just days before he'll be arrested. He took the 12 disciples aside, and he said to them, we are going up to Jerusalem. That was true. They did that. And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. Judas betrayed him. They will condemn him to death. And they did. And they will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And they did. And on the third day, he will be raised to life. And he did. Everything that Jesus said came true. And every promise that he made was fulfilled. And he told these followers, especially his disciples, over and over, I will be killed, but on the third day, I will be raised to new life. And he fulfilled that promise. Jesus throughout Scripture has promised to give us peace. He says, I will give you peace. Every person here would love to have peace. Jesus promises he'll give us peace. Jesus has promised that he'll forgive us of all of our sins. Every person here knows they've messed up. Every person here deals with guilt issues. And Jesus says, I promise that I will forgive you. Jesus also says that if you will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be added unto you. He says, I will be able to give you a direction and a purpose in life. Every person would love to have a direction and purpose in life. He even said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, overflowing, fulfilling. These are things that he has promised, and he will fulfill those promises. And you say, well, Danny, how do you know he'll fulfill those promises? Because of the empty tomb. Because out of all the promises, the most difficult one to me to fulfill would be, I'm going to die, and then 3 days later, I'll be raised from the dead. And he did that. And because he did that, he fulfilled that promise, he can fulfill whatever promises listed in Scripture. And that is also why he could look at his disciples in that upper room and say what is recorded in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He says, it's the only way, guys, but I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I'm all these things to you. I promise you that. And that is the truth. And when you look at the empty tomb, you see that he is that. And he fulfills every promise. You see, when you come to the empty tomb, you'll find more than you were looking for. Let me tell you the second thing that you'll find. You will find that the resurrection is a historical fact. You'll find that the resurrection is a historical fact. You know, when the angel told the ladies and told them that Christ had risen, it said in verse 6, when they said, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said," you know, he told you this, and it was true. She said, then, look what the angel says. The angel, he says this. He says, "Come see the place where he lay. Come see the place where he lay." And what the angel is saying is, "I want to give you some verifiable proof that he has risen from the dead. So I want you to come in and see where he lay." Now, if you look in John's gospel gives a description as to what was seen when they looked in the tomb. And it was Peter and John ran to the tomb and they looked in there. When they looked in there, it says that you could see the grave clothes that he was wrapped in, and they were just laying there on the stone shelf of where Jesus was lying. And it says those clothes were just there. And they were there, and they were all wrapped up. They had not been disturbed, and it was as if his body just exhumed from there. It's like a cocoon, and the cocoon just sort of like that. And it said the napkin that was wrapped around his head and his face, it was folded neatly over there and placed there in the corner. And they're all together. And it's interesting that when Peter saw that and John saw that, it said right that moment they believed, just when they saw the grave clothes. Because when they saw that, they realized that nobody had unwrapped Jesus and stolen the body and tried to wrap those things back up. That's impossible. That didn't happen. And so when the angel told the women to look into the empty tomb, they said, "We've got nothing to hide. I want you to look right in here. And you will see historical proof that this is a fact." It's a fact that he raised from the dead. And so when you began to look at all the things that transpired in just that short amount of time, where you have a tomb that is empty, you have no body, you have the grave clothes that are there, and you... Nowhere in Scripture did anyone ever discover a body and all of a sudden said, "Hey, I've got the body of Jesus of Nazareth here." It was never been found. And then the changed lives of the disciples. That to me, if there was nothing else, I think that would have sent me over the edge on the proof. And these are 11 guys that as soon as Jesus was arrested, they headed for the hills. They were so scared. But then once the resurrection took place and he met with them, and it says that he appeared before 500 people, that once he had appeared before them, these men were willing to give their lives for him and give their lives for that gospel message. 10 out of those 11 died a martyr's death, a gruesome, painful martyr's death. And not one of them ever recanted Christ as Lord and Savior. And the only other one, that was John. He was exiled to the island of Patmos. You see, when the angel said, "Come see where he lay, I want you to see that this is a proven fact, that the tomb is empty." Now, if you go to, and I'm not sure how you pronounce it, it's Medina, I don't know if it's Medina or Medina, Saudi Arabia, and someone can let me know and I'll have it down for the 11 o'clock service. But if you go there in Saudi Arabia, you can see Muhammad's tomb. And you can see that in 632 AD, that Muhammad was buried there in Saudi Arabia. And that tomb is occupied. You can go to Khufu, which is in the Shandong province of eastern China, and you can go and see the tomb where Confucius was laid in 479 BC, and that tomb is occupied. There was a man by the name of Siddhartha Gautama. Siddhartha Gautama is the Buddha, okay? And he was the founder of Buddhism. And Siddhartha Gautama, the Buddha, he died at the age of about 80 years of age. And he died in a city called Kusinara, India. And in Kusinara, India, it is right at the foot of the Himalayan mountains. And what they did was after a week, they cremated him. And when they cremated him, they took his ashes as relics. And they would take these ashes as relics and they would build these earthen monuments that were called stupas, S-T-U-P-A. And there would be a stupa. And when they would build these monuments, they would take a portion of his ashes and they would place them in there. And so if you ever traveled throughout Asia and saw these stupas, they are supposed to have some of the relics, some of the ashes of Buddha. But now if you go to Jerusalem, as I've had an opportunity to go, and you go to the garden tomb to where archaeologists say this is where Jesus was placed, you will notice something, and that is that the stone is rolled away and you can walk inside. And when you walk inside, there's nobody there. It's empty. And so you take all the major religions of the world and you've got tombs that are occupied. But when you come to Christianity and you come to Jesus Christ, the tomb is empty. And the angel said to the women, come, see where he lay. He's not here anymore. The tomb is empty. When you come to the empty tomb, you will find more than what you were looking for. And you will find historical proof that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. When you came this morning to Shades Mountain Baptist Church, you were not coming to find a dead religious leader who was an insightful teacher. But what you will find more than what you're looking for, and that is that you will find a risen Savior who is the Son of God. You'll always find more than what you're looking for. Let me tell you the third thing that they saw. And that is a move from come and see to go and tell. There was a move from come and see to go and tell. Look what the angel said. Come and see the place where he lay. Soon as they told him to come and see the place where he lay, you know the next thing the angel said? Verse 7, then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead. Interesting, the angel didn't say, hey, go tell them about that cool earthquake that took place. Or go tell them about how you heard the stone roll away. Or why don't you tell them about a talking angel? Hey, they'll love that story. No, it didn't say any of that stuff. It said, go tell them that Jesus is risen from the dead. That is the most important message. And you see, folks, what happens is when we encounter the empty tomb, that means that we cannot just sit here as just people that hear this good news and say, oh, that's good. I want to accept that. I want to hold on to that. We can't do that. We need to come and see like we're doing this morning, and then we need to walk out from this building and we need to go and tell. And he says, I want you to tell them that Christ is risen. I want to tell them that he is alive. And he said, go to the disciples and tell them. Because once we tell the disciples, then they will have the responsibility to begin to get the message out. And folks, that's our responsibility. And as believers today who are here on an Easter Sunday with a come and see message, we are to then walk away from here and go and tell. And we are to tell others the good news about Jesus Christ. It is such great news that will change people's lives. We cannot hold on to it ourselves. We need to be sure and tell others. You see, you'll always find more than what you're looking for when you come to the empty tomb. I'll tell you the last thing that you'll find, and that is that Jesus has gone before you. Jesus has gone before you. The last thing the angel says to them, he says, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, he's going before you to Galilee, and when you get there, then you'll be able to see him. So what does that mean, he's gone before you? Well, I think it really can mean two things. Number one, the first thing is a forgiveness of all wrongdoings. A forgiveness of all wrongdoings. Jesus has already gone before you. He's in Galilee waiting for you. Now, the last thing that these disciples did was what? The last thing they did was ran away. They deserted him. The last thing Peter did was he denied him three times. And yet when Jesus is risen from the dead, he didn't tell the angel to say, hey, go tell those disciples he's looking for 12 different guys. Okay? He says, I want you to come see me. I'll be in Galilee, and I want you to come, and I'll meet you there. What he's telling them is, folks, there's a place for renewal, and there's a place for forgiveness. And you men, you will be forgiven. And you men will be restored. And we're going to work together. Guys, you're still on the team. And we got a lot of work that we have got to do. There's a forgiveness of the wrongdoings. And when we come here this morning, you need to realize that Jesus has already gone before you. And that Jesus has gone before the Father. And he's interceding for the Father. And he's asking him for forgiveness of sins. And you need to know that Jesus has already gone before you. He's gone to the cross. And he's ascended to heaven. He's there with the Father. And his desire is that you come into a right relationship with him. He's already gone before you. And if you've never made that decision to receive Christ as a Lord and Savior in your life, to be able to accept those forgiveness of sins and to have that right relationship with him, he is saying today, listen, he's already gone before you. He's just waiting for you. And he says he'll see you in Galilee. And see, for some of you, Jesus has gone before you, and he came to Shades Mountain Baptist Church this morning knowing that you would be here. And he's saying, as you are here today, he says, I've already gone before you. I'm here. I'm waiting for you. And I'm ready for you to get your life right with me. You've thought about it. You've talked to other people about it. You've questioned it. And he said, but today's the day. And so when you came to a service to hear about an empty tomb, guess what? You're going to be finding more than what you were looking for. Because what you're doing is you're getting ready to find the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, and he could become your personal Lord and Savior and impact your life for eternity. And that is great news. See, he's already gone before you. And when they said he'd already gone before you, men, he forgives you. And he's ready to get on task with you, on purpose, on the right direction for your life. And when you come up to Galilee, he's going to give you all the marching orders on there. Wow. Who dreaded that trip the most? I believe it was Peter. He's the one that denied him. He's the one that when he denied him that third time, Jesus kind of shot his eyes over at him in the courtyard. Oh, gosh. Don't you know he dreaded that? But you know, when he went up there, and you go to the last chapter of the book of John, when they get up to Galilee, everybody's cooking breakfast, and Jesus gets with Peter and says, let's take a walk on the beach, take a walk around the lake. And as they're taking that walk, he keeps asking him, Peter, do you love me? He said, yeah, I do, Lord. He says, then I want you to feed my sheep. I've got something for you, man. I know you messed up over there. I told you you were going to mess up, but also I'm letting you know that you're forgiven and I've got a purpose for you. Same thing. God's got a purpose for you and he's ready for you to take that next step for him. A forgiveness of all wrongdoings. And the very last thing is an assurance of eternal life in heaven. An assurance of eternal life in heaven. About 7 weeks or so after the resurrection, Jesus ascended to heaven. And as he ascended to heaven, he gave us that access to God through Jesus Christ. And when he ascended to heaven, he says, I've prepared a place for you. It's one of his promises that he made. And he said, I've prepared a place for you, and I'm ready for you. But when you make a decision to receive Christ as Savior, you then get access to God the Father and you have an assurance that you will spend eternity in heaven. He's already gone before you. He's already prepared a place for those who will receive him as Savior and Lord. And on this Easter Sunday morning, it could be a day that you came looking for just some kind of music or some kind of sermon or to see what kind of new outfit you were going to wear. But you're going to find so much more because you will be able to find a relationship with Jesus Christ and you will know where you will spend eternity and you can spend eternity in heaven. That's the good news of the Easter message. You know, it was January of 2000 when the leadership in North Carolina, in Charlotte, North Carolina, wanted to have a luncheon and they wanted to honor Billy Graham. And Billy Graham had an onset of Parkinson's and was not really excited about going to it. And they assured him, they said, listen, we're not going to ask you to give a big speech. We just want to recognize you and thank you for what you've done. And so sure enough, he decided to go. When he went to this big luncheon, naturally, they always ask you to say something. Don't have to give a sermon, but just to say something. So they asked him to step up. And when he stepped up, he said, well, as I'm here today, I'm reminded about Albert Einstein, that great physicist. And I think Time magazine had named him as the man of the century. And he says, I remember the story about Albert Einstein of when he was traveling on a train and he was traveling from Princeton. And as he was traveling on this train, the conductor began to walk up the aisle to ask people for their tickets and they were going to punch their tickets like they do. And as he got to Dr. Einstein, he says, do you have your ticket? Well, he reached into his pocket and he didn't have it in this pocket. And so he reached in this pocket. It wasn't there. And he started going through these pockets and he couldn't find it. He said, oh, it must be in a briefcase. He pulls out his briefcase, opens it up. And he can't find it. And then he starts looking in the seat next to him. And finally, the conductor says, hold on. He says, Dr. Einstein, says, don't worry about it. He says, I know who you are. And I think everybody on this train knows who you are. So we know who you are. And I know you didn't get on this train without buying a ticket. So don't you worry about it, okay? Don't worry about it. And we'll move on. And the conductor continued to go up the aisle. He got near the end of the aisle punching other tickets. And he glanced back. And there's Dr. Albert Einstein on his knees looking underneath his seat. And as he's looking underneath his seat, he's rummaging around trying to find this ticket. So the conductor comes back to him and says, Dr. Einstein. He says, listen, you don't have to have your ticket. He says, I know who you are, and I know that you didn't get on this train without buying a ticket, so you don't need to worry about it. And Dr. Einstein looked up at him. He says, yes, young man, I understand that. He says, and I know who I am. My problem is I don't know where I'm going. All right? Then Dr. Graham said this. He said, my kids, my wife, my children, and grandchildren have been telling me that I'm dressing sort of slovenly lately. So they bought me this new suit. They wanted me to be a little bit more fastidious. And so I just want to let you know that I will wear this suit on two occasions. This is one, and the second occasion is when I'm buried. And he says, and when you hear the words that Billy Graham has died, I don't want you to remember this suit. But what I do want you to remember is this. I know who I am, and I know where I'm going. There's that assurance. Why does he know where he's going? It is because the tomb is empty. Jesus is risen. He has conquered sin. He has conquered death. And today, you can have that same assurance, and you can walk out of here. And guess what? You will find more than you were looking for. Let me ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. Father, we are so thankful for the empty tomb and for the hope that it gives us. And I pray today for each person that is here. And that Easter Sunday will be a day that is more than just a special day with family, but it will be a time when you get a hold of our hearts, and that people will have a boldness to step up, come down, make a decision for you, and to accept the gift of eternal life that you have offered us. So, Lord, we love you. We take this invitation, and we place it before you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.